used to always remember this statement whenever I used to.
Yeah.
Whenever I used to read these fairy tales, when I was a child, the ending would always be like this. Something, something, something happened, and then they lived happily ever after. So normally if you would have a Walt Disney movie, there would be a common theme that
Haribol.
They would have a common theme, and that was that there would be a hero, there would be a heroine, there would be a villain, you know, and who would separate them. It could be her mother, her stepmother, it could be a witch, it could be a demon or whoever. And then somehow they would struggle together and defeat that person, and then they would live happily ever after. Now when we talk about "and they lived happily ever after," how many people have we seen who lived happily ever after? It happens only in the stories, in the movies. Even if they may be very attached to each other, even if they may be getting along very well together, but still, there might be so many other problems in life, right? So many other problems. So living happily in this world is very difficult. For all the factors to be under your control and to be, you know, making it very favorable for you to be happy is very unrealistic. It doesn't happen. Very rarely it happens. So this happens in fiction, in books, in stories, in movies, right? So to live happily together is a big challenge. Have any of you faced? Who has faced that when we stay together with family, we do have difference of opinion, we have arguments, we have fights? Who has not faced? Put their hand up, come and sit here. Right? All of you I can see are mostly teenagers or just completing teenage. So maa ke saath hota hai na bahut baar argument. So many times we have argument, and familiarity breeds contempt. When we stay together, we see each other's faults. When we see people from a distance, they appear to be very good, and they are good, but when we come close, then we see the defects, we see the faults in them, and then the problems start. Sometimes friends become relatives. Like two friends, they may get married, like to some the friend's brother or something, and such good relationship, but it gets ruined, you know, when they come very, very close. So there are so many aspects to relationships, and we don't have much time today, but we will try to discuss whatever we can, that how we can have good relationships and how, what are the factors involved in that. So many of you here today are students, so many of you might be working, right? How many of you have experienced that you get a good job and now you feel that now my life is made? You know, I have got a job in a very good organization with a very attractive package, and everything now will be good. But does it work that way? No. You have to actually work to even retain that position, because there's so much competition. There's the insecurity that you might be even given the pink slip. Bye. You know. But if we are really wanting to retain the job, then we have to work hard. Even to remain at the same place, what to speak of getting a promotion. We have to know what is the job culture, what are the job ethics. You know, how to deal with the boss, how to deal with the colleagues, how to improve our knowledge of the subject so that we can be on par or better than the others and remain in the organization. So just getting a job doesn't ensure our progress. Similarly for students, now supposing somebody is attempting to enter into a medical college, you work very hard and you clear the NEET, you get entrance into a very prestigious medical college, maybe the best medical college, but does that make you a doctor? No. It may help you, it may create a favorable environment for you, but it doesn't help you to become a doctor. To become a doctor, you have to go through the process. And what is that process? Of learning, right? Through reading, through hearing, through observing, through practicing and working very hard, then we may get the opportunity to become a doctor. And even after becoming a doctor, the process doesn't stop. They are constantly upgrading their skills and their knowledge so that they can help people in a better way. Even with gadgets, what to talk about studies and careers. Even if we buy a simple thing as an air conditioner or a TV or a washing machine or even our house, it has to be maintained, right? If you just buy a house and keep it, after a few years there will be pigeons laying eggs and there will be cobwebs all over the place. Right? It will go into a state of disrepair. So we have to maintain. So anything in this world, if we don't maintain it, what happens? It gets deteriorated. But it's strange that still people feel that in case of relationships, once we get into a relationship, then it will be happily ever after. How can it be? Yeah, yeah. Can everyone see it? Okay. So, but in case of relationships, we feel ki, yeah, now I have got this good friend, or I have these good parents, or I have a good brother and sister, or I have a good spouse or a good colleague, and it's going to be very good now. You know, everything is going to remain very good. But sadly, do they know that we have to maintain. We have to put in a lot of effort if we want to keep it on the same level or take it ahead. Right? So today's topic is on, and they lived happily ever after. So now I have divided the topic into three parts. What are the three parts? Next slide. They lived is about relationships. People living together or people being together is about relationships. Second part is happily. That is about happiness. And third is ever after. That is about eternal relationships or about permanence. Right? So I'm going to talk about three things. So first we'll talk about the middle one. Happiness, which joins these two. Right? So we talk about happiness. So it is said that happiness, the formula for happiness is reality divided by expectation. What is reality? Reality is that which is actually happening or is actually existing. Abhi jo hai, ya jo ho raha hai, jo sach hai, jo dikh raha hai, what we can see, that is reality. And what is expectation? What we want. What we want from ourselves, from others, or from the world in general. Those are our expectations. So reality divided by expectation will give us a measure of happiness. Right? If reality is more than what we expect, then we will be happy. Or that's what people think. If reality is less than our expectations, then we will be dissatisfied or we'll be unhappy. Next. Next. Yeah. So you can see these are a pair of measuring scales, weighing scales. And on one side is reality and one side is expectation. So we have to try to balance both. You know, if reality and expectations are balanced, then there's more likelihood of our being happy, peaceful and content. Right? There is no guarantee. There's no guarantee, but there's a likelihood. How do we balance reality and expectation? This can be done in two ways. One is, now supposing if the weighing scale is like this, like my one hand is up, one hand is down. If I want to bring it on the same level, what do I have to do? It's not such a difficult question, it's not physics. Yeah? What do you have to do? Yeah, either we bring this hand down or we take this hand up. Basically, we have to either bring down our expectations or improve the reality. Right? If reality is more than expectation, that's okay. But if expectations are more than reality, then what do? Either we improve the reality or we lower the expectation. Next. Right? So to increase happiness, we improve reality और वी लोअर आवर एक्सपेक्टेशंस. नाउ हाउ डू वी लोअर आवर एक्सपेक्टेशन. नेक्स्ट, देयर इज अ वेरी ब्यूटिफुल सेइंग. फर्स्ट when we want to lower our expectation, first we have to identify our expectations. What are our expectations from life, from ourselves, from others? What type of home do we want? What type of relationships do we want? We have to first be very clear in our own mind. We should be aware of our own thoughts, our own self. We should be very, very clear. And then we have to lower those expectations. How? Now here it is mentioned that we have to change our gear, we have to bring down our gear. Have you ever read in the newspaper that so many people are killed because they are driving fast and their bike encounters a pothole or a, you know, or sometimes even a speed breaker, and then they fall? Because when you are going up slope or you are going on a speed breaker or on a pothole, that means wherever it is something unnatural, you have to slow down. You have to change your gear. You can't be going very fast. Otherwise, it might result in an accident. So we have to, when we see that there is some difficulty, we have to lower our speed. We have to focus more on the problem and we have to lower our speed. Next. So there is this very beautiful saying that strive for excellence, not perfection. Now, next slide. What is the difference between perfection and excellence? Excellence is, supposing I am striving for excellence, what will be my goal? My goal will be that I want to achieve something. In order to achieve that, I will do my best. If I succeed, I will be happy, I will be content. But even if I fail, I will be content. Why? Because I gave my best. I tried my best. Whatever was within my control, I did it. There might have been some factors which were beyond my control. I could not do that. I could not do anything about it. But whatever I could do, I did it. And after understanding that I have failed, then I will try to evaluate. Okay, what went wrong? Evaluate. Reframe goals. Okay, in this situation, this goal is not feasible. This goal is not doable. So let me change my goal. So you change the goal, you reframe, you reset, and then again start executing. So you are not rigid. You are not very rigid. You are flexible. You are willing to change according to the situations. You are willing to accept when you make mistakes. You are willing to accept when other people make mistakes. That doesn't mean you will not point out. You may point out the mistakes. But you yourself will rectify your own mistakes. And you will give people a chance, you will give them space, or you will accommodate them and allow them to rectify their mistakes. So when you are with a person, if you are a person who is like that, then it becomes very easy for people to live with you. Right? Then it is easier to have good relationships. But if you are a perfectionist, that means if you are demanding perfection all the time, what does a person who is perfectionist do? I want the best. Everything should be best for me. The best clothes, the best friends, parents should be up to date, whoever I get married to should be the best. Sab kuch best hona chahiye. And I cannot tolerate anything less than the best. Now, wanting the best is not something bad. Wanting a high standard is not something bad. But I want only the best. I will not settle for anything lower than only the best. That is a very tough stand to take. And many times, relationships break. Because we want that perfect person. We want a perfect relationship. It's not possible in this world. Because in this world, there are going to be problems. It is very difficult to get something perfect. First question we should ask ourselves, are we perfect? Do we not make mistakes? Are we able to satisfy everyone fully? Yet we expect it from others that we should be always fully satisfied. People should do what we want. People should speak what we want to hear. How is it possible? They are different, you are different. They have different way of thinking, you have a different way of thinking. So it may not be always that all the people will try to please you all the time. Sometimes it may happen, sometimes it may not. And it's okay. But what happens when you want perfection? You are rigid. You don't allow for mistakes. One error and finished. We end. But there is a very beautiful saying that where there is affection, don't look for perfection. In this world, it is very rare to have relationships in which somebody cares about you. Then even if they make a mistake, it's okay. Give them a chance to rectify, give them a chance to correct that mistake, rather than breaking up over those relationships. When we stay with siblings, we are with our parents, we may see faults. But be grateful. Understand what we have received from them. And it's okay. We expect that sometimes parents should be perfect. Why? They are also human beings like us. They may also make mistakes. It's okay. But they love us. And whatever they do with good intention. So we see the intention which is behind the action. Not only the action. Right? So perfectionists, they have demand. Yeah, and because they are so inflexible, what happens? A bamboo, if it is very rigid, very, very hard, when you try to bend it, what happens? It breaks. Whereas a rubber wire, when you bend it, it bends. So if we are flexible, even when there is a problem, we are able to bend till the difficulty passes by. But if we are very rigid, that only this way and only my way, then what happens? When difficulty comes, we break. So we lower our expectation by changing perfection to excellence. Inflexibility to flexibility or rigidity to flexibility. And so many other ways we can make those changes. Next. No, go back. So I wanted to tell you one story. It's actually fiction. But it's just somewhat related to this. So there was one lady and she was married, she had her husband with her and she was a perfectionist. Too perfect. And she wanted that the husband also should be like that. He was not. He was a very simple person who was always trying to please her and he never succeeded. Because her standards were too high, too high. Whatever he did, try as much as he may, he was not able to please her. So one day he got one very ridiculous idea. He said, I should do something so different, so extraordinary that my wife will take notice of me, you know, and she will appreciate me. So he said, what should I do? What should I do? Then he said, I should learn to fly. You know? So he actually started going every day on top of a small bush, then a tree, and gradually he, you know, used to jump and used to try to flap his arms and come down. And he actually mastered that. He started flying. He could jump down from like 5 floors, 6 floors, 10 floors. So when he was confident that now I have mastered the art, he said, okay, today I will jump from a skyscraper. And he went on top of a skyscraper. And he stood on the parapet. And people thought he's trying to commit suicide. So police came and media came and it was being covered. You know, it was a very big event. And it was being relayed on national television. And everybody was seeing and madam was also watching. And it was being shot from down. So he just appeared like a tiny little figure. She couldn't see his face. And then they were saying, don't jump. He said, I'm not jumping, I'm going to fly. And then he actually took off. And he flew and everybody was like whistling and clapping. It was such an amazing thing. And he came down and then, you know, he was honored and so many things. After some hours, after all that happened, he came back home and he rang the bell and his wife opened the door and she was very excited. So he thought, because she saw me, she's very excited. But she was excited because she saw this. She didn't know it was her husband. She said, do you know what happened today? One man, he actually went on top of the building and he flew. So he's trying to tell her, but she wouldn't let him talk. He's trying to tell her, it was me. But she's not listening. And then he finally got her to keep quiet and he said, you know, it was me. She said, can't be. What will you? You never do anything sensible in your life. He said, didn't you recognize the shirt? See, this was the shirt I was wearing and this was the pant and this was what I put on my head. So gradually it, you know, sunk in that yes, इट वॉज हिम. सो ना देन ही इज वेटिंग एक्सपेक्टेंट साइलेंस यू नो दैट नाउ शी विल अप्रिशिएट मी. ही सेड यू नो दिस इज इन मराठी आई हर्ड इट सो आई टेल यू मराठी. तरी मी म्हणत होते हा माणूस वाकडा का उडतोय. Why is this man flying in a crooked way? So even in that she found fault. So when we want to find fault, if that is our nature, then we will find fault in everybody, everything and every situation. If we want to be happy, first we have to change our attitude. Means once we change our attitude, then life becomes easier. Okay, next. So the next thing is, one is lower our expectation and second is, please don't try flying. Huh? I'll have to land in jail and then wonder how I can improve reality. So next is improving reality. So how can I improve this situation? How can I improve reality? That, okay, now this is a situation and thinking of different ways how to change the situation. We can think. And maybe we might be able to do certain things. But if we are not able to do something, then there are certain coping techniques which are taught. How to deal with the situation when things are going beyond our control, when people are behaving differently from what we expected. How do we deal with the situation? So there is a coping skill taught called STOP. Next one. Next. So STOPP. Next. So what does STOP mean? It is an acronym. So S stands for STOP. Pause. One of our devotees, Shubh Vilas Prabhu, he always talks about this. STOP. When you are very disturbed, before you speak something or before you do something, stop. Pause for a minute. You know, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. This is very much recommended in today's circles for treatment and therapy. That when our mind is very disturbed, then our breathing becomes very quick. Our pulse rate quickens, right? So our mind and our body are connected. Similarly, when we breathe in a very regulated way, when we have rhythmic breathing, then our mind becomes peaceful because they are interrelated. So the mind disturbed, the breathing gets unregulated. When we regulate the breathing, the mind becomes peaceful. And then with a peaceful mind, it is very difficult to be angry or have negative emotions. So to become peaceful, just take a deep breath or focus on your breathing. This can be done only if you have been doing it when you are okay. If you have not practiced deep breathing when you are normal, then you cannot do it when you are angry. Just like supposing your pilot announces that now the plane is about to crash. When the plane is about to land in the ocean and you come out with your parachute, you can't take swimming lessons over there, can you? You can't. I can't take swimming lessons anywhere. Even in a swimming pool I find it difficult. So we have to do deep breathing and pranayama as a regular thing too, so that our health, our mind remains in good shape. So you do deep breathing and then what do you do? Next, you observe. Observe what? Not observe other people. Observe your own behavior. Your own thoughts. What is going on in my mind? What are the thoughts? Just observe. Objectively, as if you are outside. You just observe. And then what do? You pull back. You sort of come back. Why? So that you can see things in the proper perspective. Sometimes, when you are too close, you can't see things properly. But when you move back a little, you can see things in a more focused way. Right? Those who have short sight, they can appreciate this. Now I am keeping this paper so far because I have forgotten my spectacles at home. So if I keep it here, I can't see anything. But if I keep it here, then I can see it with some degree of clarity. So to see things from the proper perspective, to see things from other people's perspective. This point will be discussed later on, so I won't go into it now. So to see things from others' perspective, this is also called helicopter view. Seeing things from above. Sometimes when we see something, it may appear that the problem is so big. But when we go see it from a different level, then it appears to be very small. A building may appear very big, but when you are seeing the building from a helicopter or from an aeroplane, it appears to be very small, right? You wonder, oh, I used to think it's so big. So seeing it from a different perspective. How is this problem affecting me and how is it going to affect me later on? 6 months from now, 1 year from now, is it really going to affect me? Should I make a big issue of this or should I just let go? Right? Like supposing somebody in the 6th standard got 45 out of 100 in a subject. And now you are married with kids. Do you still cry about that? No. But at that time it might have appeared to be a very big problem. So time is the biggest healer. Sometimes because of a passage of time, we feel that now that problem is not so big after all. So we let some time pass. And the last is again P. Practice what works and then proceed. Most of us know what works. Whenever we start something new, we know what is making it happen. Even to initiate something, we know what makes it happen. Whether in spiritual life or outside. That if we are students, that to clear a particular exam, to get into an institution, what have we done? We have put in effort. We have led a life of discipline, regulation, right? And that's how we got in. So we know. But somewhere we forget. Or we just become careless or complacent or take things for granted. And then things slide down. And then we wonder why. But actually we already know. We were already doing all those things. When we stop doing what makes things work, then things will slide down. So what is the solution? We just start again with those things. We just start with those things again. We don't even need an outside party to come and tell us. We know. But we forget. Or we take things for granted. We feel that now I don't need to do those things. Once I have reached a particular institution or once I have connected to a particular person, now life is going to be rosy and we will live happily ever after. But that's a sad dream. It doesn't happen. Right? Next. So the next part is about they lived. Relationships. Now relationships are very, very important for human beings. Research has been done that the most happy people are the ones who have good relationships, who have stable and happy relationships. They are stable in their material as well as spiritual pursuits. And they are peaceful. They are very, very happy. So man is a social animal. He cannot live in isolation. He needs to live with people. Or she needs to live with people. So relationships are very, very important. But yet, there are problems. Even though we know that this is so important for us. Whatever we are doing in our life is because somebody has been with us, somebody has helped us, or somebody has pushed us up. That is why we are able to achieve certain things. There was an anecdote that a woman was crossing a bridge. And her husband had already gone to the other side. And she was calling out to him, you know, come and help me. And he was saying, wait, just come fast, just cross. And she was wondering why he isn't coming to help her. And when she went to the other side, she saw he was holding it up. Because it was about to break. So in so many ways, so many people may be touching our lives and helping us to progress. Materially, spiritually, emotionally. In so many ways, people are helping us. Our parents, our friends, our siblings, our colleagues, our relatives, our neighbors. So many people may have contributed, we may not even remember. But we need all those relationships. That is why we have to focus and try to maintain those relationships. Today in a world of button technology, everything is so quick, right? You order something from Amazon, they say what? If you don't like it, in 7 days we take it back, exchange. If you don't like it, if it's not tailor-made to your expectations, you can exchange it. You have buttons. Click, 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 click for changing. From this program to that program. You can change whatever you want. Right? If it's hot, you can make it cold. If it's cold, you can make it hot. So because technology has made situations in such a way, we start thinking that we are in control. And we can control everything. And we can control people too. And that is where the problem is. We can't control others. We don't like to be controlled by others and we can't control others. So when we try to control others, then there will be problems. So when we have demands instead of requests, then there will be problems that he or she must, they must, the world must provide what I want, what I need. Right now, the way I want, at the time I want, when I want, how I want. Then only I will be happy. So forget, you can never be happy because the demand is too unrealistic. Right? So why do relationships fail? Because of these problems that I mentioned. So we have demandingness, where we demand. It should be aise hi hona chahiye. Asat vahila paiche. You must do this. He must do this. I must do this. Even we are tough on ourselves also. I must score this much. Yeah, it's good if I do. He must behave nicely with me. She must behave nicely with me. Yeah, it's nice if people behave nicely with us. If people understand us, if they are sensitive to us, if they reciprocate with us, it's very nice. We'll feel happy. But we can't demand that they should, because they are different from us. I am I, you are you, she is she. I can't force people to behave the way I want. And if I do, I get frustrated. Right? So demanding, then low tolerance. If we have a very low level of tolerance, our tolerance threshold is very low, again there will be problem in relationships. Because if somebody says something and we fly off the handle, how could she say such a thing to me? You know, I don't want to see her face forever. I don't want to talk to her. Why? One small thing, but she may have done so many good things for you. Maybe that is her nature. Different people have different communication styles. Some people are very blunt, very frank. Some people are very quiet. Everybody has different styles. That doesn't mean they are bad. Maybe their communication style or their behavior is not good. But that doesn't mean they are bad. Their behavior may be bad on that one occasion. But we may generalize. We may generalize, label them as bad and put them into a coffin forever. Not actually, but you know, we try to push people out of our life if they are not doing what we want or if they are not up to our expectations. And if we do that, we lose out on very precious relationships. And the third point is neglect or abuse. When we neglect a relationship, then that becomes very painful. Or when we abuse a person, then it becomes very painful. Our Guru Maharaj had said in one lecture, he said that when you say yes to a person may become happy. If you say no to a person, they may become sad. But when you neglect, that is the most painful. So to neglect somebody can cause a lot of pain. So if we neglect relationships, then that relationship slowly dies. It dies a slow, painful death. So what makes a relationship successful? So to make a relationship successful, there have to be many factors. There has to be emotion plus logic. There has to be effort plus kindness. There has to be sympathy, empathy. So many things are needed for a relationship to be successful. And the most important one is forgiveness. The most important one is forgiveness. So what is a relationship? When we make a choice that I want to spend time with you or I want to live with you or I want to be with you and help you in some way. And by helping you, by being with you, I grow too. So both of us gain in that. So a choice to expend energy in order to benefit the other person, knowing that if his or her life is enriched by our efforts, we too will find a sense of satisfaction of having genuinely served another. It begins with an attitude of caring and service. I care for you, you matter to me. Even if there are problems, maybe I am hurting from the problems, but I will not let those problems come in between our relationship, whoever it may be. It may be a spouse, a friend, a colleague, a parent, anybody, right? So, I want to look out for your interests. So, if we genuinely care for someone, we will try to find out what interests them. And then try to do something so that we can please them or we can help them. And generally when you do that, the other person may take some time, but they will also reciprocate. They might reciprocate, sometimes they may not. But you feel satisfied that you have done whatever you had to help the person, right? So in this world, we can never guarantee that if we do something, somebody will do for us. then it becomes like a business. But we do it because just serving someone is giving us happiness. Or helping someone is giving us happiness. Right? So, if we can care about our parents, spouse, friends, etc., then we will find out what they value in their life and we will try to use that information to strengthen our relationships with them. Next. So, generally, what are the needs of people? Different people have different needs, but most of the time these are the needs. One is empathy. What is empathy? That you understand events or situations or the world from somebody else's perspective, from their point of view. Literally it is said, standing in somebody else's shoes and seeing the world from their perspective. To understand what an event means to them, how hurt they are feeling, why they are feeling. Sometimes you may say, kya ho gaya? Why they are getting so angry? But that's their perception. That's what they are feeling. We can understand an event, but we cannot understand an experience. That only the person who has experience will understand. So to understand, we have to be showing empathy. That is, be willing to hear them out, to listen to them, and to understand what they are going through, and then help them in whatever way we can. Most of the time we become defensive when someone tells us something, right? We become defensive. But they may be just expressing what they are feeling. We don't need to become defensive if we just hear. I was seeing an interesting video in which there is this man sitting on the beach. And his girlfriend is sitting with him. And she's complaining. This happened, that happened, this rickshaw wala didn't take me, how dare he, so much. And then in anger she just walks away. When she walks away, her mobile phone falls on the sand. So this man picks up the phone. And then he's trying to call her and he's saying, So you understand that he's dumb, he's mute, he cannot speak. And then they zoom the video on him and they show his back. On the back there is a sign which reads, 50 rupees per hour for listening, no judgment, no criticism. He is taking money just to listen to the person and he's dumb. So he can't criticize or offer any advice or judge them or evaluate them. So people need somebody like this who is willing to listen to them. You're laughing, really. That sometimes people don't have anybody who is willing to listen to them. So if you have someone who is listening to you, be grateful. They may or may not do what you want. But even if they are just listening, be grateful, because that itself acts as a therapy. So listening, empathy. Then the next one is forgiveness. I already spoke about forgiveness. That forgiveness is a very, very important aspect. That if we want to be forgiven, we should learn to forgive. And we should learn to let go of the things that the bitterness, from bitterness to betterness, you know, to get better. And instead of thinking, I can't go much into detail because we have many more points to cover. But we all know what forgiveness is. And forgiveness is a quality which is very, very dear to the Lord. Because the Lord is forgiving us all the time for what we are doing. Right? How many of us sincerely pray every day or do what we are supposed to do? Yet we are getting food to eat, we are getting clothes to wear, we are staying in a house. Why? Because somebody is forgiving us. Somebody is giving us a chance again and again. In spite of our making mistakes, somebody is forgiving us. Somebody is giving us more opportunities. The next point is attention. What is attention? Focus. Giving quality time in relationships. How many times do we sit with our parents and talk to them? How many times do we sit with our friends and actually, with friends we may be talking. But how much time do we actually invest in relationships? But when we invest time, it means that relationship will grow. There's a very beautiful video that I want to show you at the end of this session. That's why I will not talk much, but I will just tell you that that video actually shows a great deal of sensitivity, empathy, understanding the needs of others, and without talking, without making a big issue or without making a big show, trying to arrange the situation in such a way that the needs of near and dear ones are fulfilled. Maybe you have seen this video. But it is very nice. I will be showing it at the end of the talk. The next one is reciprocation. Yeah, appreciation, sorry. Appreciation and gratitude. So this is self-explanatory. When we appreciate people, then they become motivated. Now in corporate level, people are actually appreciated so that they should perform better. Now that is not genuine appreciation. That is motivated. That is with ulterior motives. What we are talking about is genuinely appreciating a person for what they are doing. Not seeing their faults, seeing the good that they are doing. Why? Because you are grateful. Out of gratitude, you appreciate. Oh, thank you for what you are doing for me. Whatever it may be. What may appear to be a very small act to you might mean a lot of energy for somebody else. Right? So being grateful and appreciating. Then comes reciprocation or giving gifts. So when we give gifts, when we receive gifts, that improves the relationship. It could be a gift of your time. It could be a gift of your time. It need not always be a very expensive gift. It could be a small gift. When my daughters were young, they used to take this one small paper, you know, and draw something. We have kept all those papers on our birthdays or on our anniversaries. What is the value, material value of that? Nothing. But the emotional value is a lot. So a gift need not be very expensive. It is the intention that, or the thought that counts behind that gift. And the last point is service. Right? Yeah, and I forgot one point. When I was talking about the listening, sometimes people might complain, our near and dear ones might complain that, you know, you are doing this or you are not doing this. So those are clues. Those are actually clues, or those are actually hints that we can catch as to what they need. And then we can do those things so that we can improve the relationship. And that becomes a service. So the last one is service. Serving people. Serving people to help them. To help them in difficult situations or otherwise. Okay? So now I wanted to share one thing with you. One of our acharyas, we have the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. One of them was Rup Goswami. We have his photo here near that door. We are in that sampradaya of Rup Goswami. So Rup Goswami, this was 500 years back. Now there are so many seminars on improving relationships and so many things. But Rup Goswami, 500 years back, he wrote this very beautiful verse, which is from NOI, Nectar of Instruction or Upadeshamrit. Next. It says, Dadati Pratigrinati Guhya Makhyati Prichati Bhungte Bhojayate Chaiva Shadbir Priti Lakshanam. That if you want to improve or have loving relationships with devotees or anybody, then these are the things that we have to do. What is that? First is Dadati Pratigrinati, to give and receive gifts. Then is Guhya Makhyati Prichati, to reveal your heart, to reveal what you are feeling. And to hear what others are feeling. And last is bhungte bhojayate chaiva. When you eat together, when you eat prasadam together, then the relationship between people improves. When we spend quality time together, our relationships improve. So these are the main points that we have about relationships. Now we go to the next point, ever after. What does ever after mean? It means permanently, eternally. It will never, never end. Now, why do we think of this? Have we ever seen, we already discussed this, have we ever seen that something lasts forever? We ourselves will never, not remain forever to see whether it remains forever. Right? Whoever is born has to die. Right? Jayate hi dhruva mrityur. One who is born has to die. So even we cannot ascertain that something will remain forever. Then why does this thought come? That I want to be happy. I want to be happy forever. Why does this thought come? That thought comes because there is such a place. There is such a state. I want to share very quickly. We have a devotee who was once very depressed. He was not a devotee then. And he was very depressed. He actually wanted to commit suicide. Because everything was going wrong in his life. And he was actually on the verge of committing suicide. And he heard a very beautiful Hindi movie song playing in a neighbor's house. आंचल के तुझे मैं लेके चलूं, एक से गगन के तले तले, जहां गम भी ना हो आंसू भी ना हो, बस प्यार ही प्यार पले. दैट कम लेट मी टेक यू टू सच अ प्लेस वेयर इट्स वेरी ब्यूटिफुल, वेयर देर इज नो डिस्ट्रेस, देर इज नो अनहैप्पीनेस, देर इज ओनली हैप्पीनेस. सो व्हेन ही हर्ड दिस ही स्टॉप्ड. अ थॉट केम इनटू हिज माइंड, ओ इज देयर सच अ प्लेस. ही एक्चुअली कॉन्टेक्टेड द सिंगर, द लिरिक्स राइटर, that you know from where did you get it, is there such a place. They said, are you a fool, we just wrote this song for the movie, there's no place like this. He said, go get lost, what are you doing. So then he was sad, and then somehow he got introduced to ISKCON and he came here. And when he came here, he saw Krishna, he read the Bhagavad Gita, he heard the Brahma Samhita, in which he heard some verses which gave him a hint that yes, such a place exists. And which was that verse next? It says, Parastasmatu bhavanyo vyakto vyaktasanatanaha yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu navinashyati. Yet, there is another unmanifest nature which is eternal and is transcendental to this manifest and unmanifested matter. It is supreme and is never annihilated. When all in this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is. So here Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is talking about the spiritual world, a world which is never destroyed. And when one goes back to the spiritual world, then one can actually live happily ever after. So that devotee became very enlivened, became very encouraged, and today he is preaching and making so many devotees, you know, experience that happiness of Krishna consciousness. So the next one. So this is a very beautiful picture of Krishna in the spiritual world. And one of our very senior devotees used to mention that this is the window to the spiritual world. All the devotees who have painted these paintings have not seen Krishna. Many of them were Western devotees who had never seen even pictures of Krishna. But they painted such beautiful pictures. And then what happened? When people saw this, it was like a window into the spiritual world. Oh, this is what the spiritual world must look like. This is what Golok Vrindavan must look like. So then this gives us a glimpse into the spiritual world. So because there is a spiritual world where people do have eternal bodies, Sat Chit Ananda, a body full of bliss, a body full of knowledge and a body full of happiness, where one doesn't have to go through old age, birth, old age, disease and death. That is why that thought comes into our mind of being happy, because we are happy. The soul is always happy. But our body is putting it in a different condition. And because there is a place like this where we can be eternally happy, and there is a person like this who can make us eternally happy, and that is Krishna. We look for perfection in others because somewhere our soul knows that yes, perfection is possible. But we are looking for the right thing in the wrong place. We are looking for the right quality in the wrong person. It's only Krishna who is perfect. That is why he is called, one name of Krishna is Achyuta. That is infallible. He doesn't make mistakes. He will never let you down. He will reciprocate with you. He will forgive you. When Krishna would play the flutes, lakhs of cows would come running, because each cow would hear their name being called. Because Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. He has that power to unlimitedly reciprocate with every one of us, because he knows what we want and he is Paramatma within our heart. So this is Krishna. So Krishna has different relationships. In the mood of a son, in the mood of a friend, in the mood of a guide, so many different rasas are there. That is why Krishna is called Rasaraj. Rasaraj Krishna. Next. So what logic points to? Scriptures illuminate. Logic tells us that if we are thinking of such a thing, that means it must be there. Can you think about Pav Bhaji? Pav Bhaji doesn't exist. You have seen, heard, eaten, tasted, or somebody, there must be some reference point, right? Because you think of something. So why is there a reference point? Because it exists. So logic tells us that it exists. It must be existing. But the scriptures give us clear direction and clear description about the spiritual world. There is a beautiful prayer by Brahma called Brahma Samhita, which very clearly describes the spiritual world. Next. So this is Rasraj Krishna. Ishwara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. So when we connect to people in this world, if they are perfect or they are trying to be perfect or we are having good relationship, then we can be happy. But when we connect to Krishna, then we can be eternally happy. How do we connect to Krishna? How do we become happy? So Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, came to give us this. He is in the parampara, and from guru to shishya, the knowledge is handed down, and Srila Prabhupada gave us this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. He translated the Bhagavad Gita into English, and later on it was translated into many languages. In fact, this is the month of Gita Jayanti. On Wednesday is Gita Jayanti, the day when Bhagavad Gita was spoken. In the temple we have a very nice program where all the shlokas are recited. So I urge all of you, if you can come and be part of it over here. And in this month our devotees are distributing Bhagavad Gitas. This is called the book distribution marathon month, where Bhagavad Gitas are being given to everybody so that they can benefit from the timeless wisdom of the Bhagavad Gita. So Srila Prabhupada, he came and he said, chant and be happy. He gave us the knowledge by how we can connect to Krishna through different processes of devotional service. So next. So this is Srila Prabhupada. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And he gave us the process by which we can connect. Actually, if you come to any ISKCON temple, you will feel you are in the spiritual world. Such beautiful deities, such beautiful kirtan, such lovely paintings, such a lovely ambience, right? And such wonderful devotees, such nice prasadam, everything is so nice. It's as if you are in the spiritual world. You get a glimpse what the spiritual world must be like. So Srila Prabhupada gave us a package deal which we can't refuse. Next. And what was that? One is he gave us the association of wonderful devotees with whom we can have those loving exchanges that we spoke about earlier. Where we get to dance, we get to sing, we get to have wonderful prasadam, we get to read, hear from wonderful scriptures which give us insight into the spiritual world, into Krishna, into how we can connect to Krishna, and we get to do lot of services. So whatever is needed for having a good relationship with Krishna or good relationship with devotees, Prabhupada has taught us. And if we just practice these simple things which are being told to us in the Bhagavad Gita, today the Bhagavad Gita has become like a manual. So many management gurus use the Bhagavad Gita to quote how we should be living our life. There are so many essential principles of life in the Bhagavad Gita. But for us, Bhagavad Gita is the most important because Krishna spoke it. The Supreme Personality of Godhead spoke it so that we can go back to Him. He is our eternal Father and He is waiting for us in the spiritual world. And He has given us the Bhagavad Gita so that we can go back to Him. So let us develop relationships with Krishna and then we all together can live happily ever after. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So now we'll show you that video. It's a very nice video. If you can see it, it is very good. It's a little long. It's about six to seven minutes. But it's very beautiful. You can just see it. Yeah. Picture of Krishna last. Last. After that. Thank you. okay, if there's some problem, we can. You can see this. You can see it on your own. It's a very beautiful video called The Homecoming, Urban Ladder. It's an advertisement. But it's very beautiful. It very, very beautifully portrays the sensitivity with which the son is dealing with his aged parents. And how he's so sensitive to their needs. And he does things in such a way that they don't even realize that he's changing things. But he makes them very happy. And at the end, they are all very satisfied. Everyone is very happy. So you can actually see it on your own. It's easily available. You just have to type this link. Yeah, thank you. So we'll stop here. If anybody has any question, they can ask before we start the kirtan. Anybody has any question?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Mataji, as you said that we must lower our expectations when the reality is not matching to our expectations if we want to be happy. Okay. But then the people we meet, okay, and maybe the people we have a good relationship with, they initially show that they have a good certain level of their standards, and that's how we start building our expectations. But then in due course of time, they change their behavior. And the expectations that we have built on based on their behavior, when their behavior change, so how should we deal with our expectations? Should we lower our standards related to them? Or how should we do? I mean, how should we act?
In life, we may not get what we want. Sometimes we may think that we have got what we want, but it may not turn out to be what we expected. Things might be very different. And especially in relationships, this always happens, especially in husband-wife relationship or man-woman. Because initially there's a euphoria, you know, all as they say, in the hormones which make you happy, they are getting secreted. So you feel everything is very good. I will do anything for this person. And he also says, I will do anything for her. I will give my life for her. But then reality sets in. You cannot be like that for very long. For some time only you can be like that. Then reality sets in. That is when then we have to apply all those principles that I spoke about. Flexibility, evaluation, evaluating the situation, how to deal with the person. So people change. We think that everything will remain as it is. Things don't remain as it is. People change. Sometimes they change for the better, sometimes they change for the worse. But at that time we have to evaluate that what can I do? And listen, find out what has changed, why has it changed. Try to connect to the person to find out what has changed. Try to remember the good times. So this is a very general answer I am giving because I don't know the specific situation. But rather than just judging, if we can find out why. You know, it's like the honeymoon period is over. It's like when for some time you can be good. But after that, you cannot be like that always. Your normal self comes out. But the normal self may not be bad. It may be different from what we expect. So obviously, one thing is to be able to communicate. We need to communicate what are our needs in a very, you know, logical and sensible manner. And at the same time, if we really, that relationship means something to us, then we need to lower our expectation. If you are holding a skipping rope and asking a child to jump, if the child is not able to jump, what do? You lower the rope so that the child can jump. Either you can hold the rope as it is and keep judging the child and saying, you are useless, you are not able to jump, you know, you are lazy, you can't do anything properly, or you can just lower the rope. So what makes us more happy or more peaceful? When we lower the rope. Because then people will be able to do what we expect. So rather than breaking a relationship because of having too high expectation, it is better to. But there are in maintaining a relationship, there are many factors which have to be seen. Stability, the emotional stability of a person. What is the relationship? What is the family background? So in relationships, there are many issues which I have not taken up today because So many things cannot be included in one thing. But there are so many aspects of a person's personality have to be seen and judged before we enter into a permanent relationship. So if such a thing is there, we have to be careful. We have to talk to our elders, our seniors, before we take any important decision in our life. Anybody else has any question?
Okay, let's see the video first.
हाँ हाँ मम्मी, मैं तो कब से कह रहा हूँ आप लोगों को यहाँ शिफ्ट हो जाइए ना, बिल्कुल आराम से रहेंगे. तो आप समझाइए ना बाबूजी को, मेरी तो सुनते ही नहीं है. हम सब यहाँ आप वहाँ अकेले रह रहे हैं. अच्छा नहीं लगता मुझे. अच्छा सुनिए, बाबूजी की तबीयत कैसी है? बुखार उतरा उनका? हाँ जी, दिवाली पे तो आ रहे हैं ना आप लोग. ठीक है, ख्याल रखिएगा अपना, बाबूजी को प्रणाम बोलिएगा. जी
क्या हुआ? What happened?
वही कहते थे, सालों से एक जगह रह रहे हैं, कहीं और सेटल नहीं हो पाएंगे. तो कोई बात हुई है?
अब आदत हो जाती है ना एक जगह पे रह के.
मेबी ऑफिस टाइम किसी. लव यू, हैव फन. रमेश इन बॉक्सेस को रख देना स्टोर में, ठीक है? बाय बाय, गेटिंग लेट. रमेश सामान निकालो.
अरे गुड़िया.
खुश रहो, खुश रहो, जीते रहो, जीते रहो.
बाबूजी क्यों?
अच्छा घर बनाया रे तूने? स्टार्टअप अच्छा चल गया तेरा. हाँ चलिए आपको आपका कमरा दिखा देती हूँ. आइए ना. बाबूजी आप भी बैठिए ना.
बाबूजी आराम से खाइए ना. पिलाओ तो बाबूजी को. मुझको भी दो. थैंक यू. अच्छा
तुमने नोटिस किया है मम्मी और पापा कुछ अनकंफर्टेबल महसूस कर रहे हैं?
क्या कर सकते हैं यार, उनको आदत नहीं है ना.
तो हम कुछ कर सकते हैं?
हाँ
मतलब हम कुछ कर सकते हैं इस बारे में.
अच्छा बाबूजी एक बात बताइए, आप लोग अवधेश चाचा के कब जा रहे हैं?
अवधेश
क्या हुआ आपको, नींद नहीं आई क्या?
नहीं नहीं आई ना.
थके हुए लगते?
नहीं नहीं ऐसी की बात नहीं,
बताइए ना प्लीज.
अरे नहीं नहीं ऐसी कोई बात
नहीं. गद्दा नरम है ना इसलिए उन्हें नींद नहीं आई. अब देखना झूले पे बैठ के हिंदी अखबार पढ़ने की आदत है इन्हें.
अरे क्या तुम भी.
अब मैं तो पूछने आया था कि अवधेश चाचा कहीं कब जा रहे हैं?
अभी कुछ ही देर में निकलेंगे.
और लौटेंगे कब?
सोच रहे थे कि थोड़े दिन वहां रह के दिवाली तक लौट आए.
नहीं ठीक है, बढ़िया सुपर अच्छा है. अब मैं ऑफिस जा रहा हूँ और ईशा आप लोग को ऑफिस आते वक्त ड्रॉप करना.
अच्छा
है ना. हाँ भाजी
अच्छा
ठीक है, आप लोग एंजॉय कीजिए. ठीक है
अब ये इसके अंदर.
नाइस, अब क्लैपिंग करेंगे।
ये
अरे गुड़िया, हैप्पी दिवाली। अरे मेरा बच्चा,
ये आप बनाई? कौन कौन सा फूल लगाए इसमें?
आइए अंदर चलते हैं।
चलो।
कैसा लगा आपको बाबूजी?
बिल्कुल अपने घर जैसा।
तो अब यही रह जाइए ना हमारे साथ।
वो क्या कहते हैं, हैप्पी दिवाली।
हाँ, आपको भी। चलिए अपनों को अपने घर ले आते हैं। urbanladder.com ब्यूटिफुल होम्स।
हरी बोल माताजी, इट वॉज एन अमेजिंग वीडियो एंड अ लॉट टू लर्न फ्रॉम टुडेज सेशन। So let us all thank Mataji in a traditional style by loudly chanting Hari Bol 3 times.
Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol.
So now firstly I would like to invite the girls who have come for the first time. Can you all please stand up on your places? Okay. Large number of girls.